Well, let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would open your word to us and open our hearts to you. Do speak to us now out of your word, we pray, in your name. Amen. So how many of you have seen the movie, 1991 movie, What About Bob? Yeah, some. For those of you who have not seen the movie, the movie tells the story of the psychotherapist Leo and one of his patients, Bob. Bob has a number of phobias, and Leo has an ego several sizes too big. To make a long story short, when Leo and his family go on vacation, Bob, who comes across to Leo's family as an endearing type of person, manipulates his events so that he ends up on vacation with them. And the longer Bob is with the family, crossing boundaries he shouldn't cross, the more he irritates Leo and the more he endears himself to Leo's family. When Leo warns his family about Bob, they don't believe him. All they see is this endearing person. Eventually, Leo ends up in the institution and Bob marries, I guess, Leo's sister. I don't know if I really like the movie, but it serves to illustrate that certain people are good at worming their ways into families. And this is just as true for the church as anywhere else. There are certain people, Bobs, if you will, who are incredibly good at charming people, manipulating, and then working their ways into the church, often into positions of authority or influence, and then they wreak havoc in that church. We're going through the book of Jude, and this has been the message of Jude throughout his little epistle, that we need to watch out for these scam artists. We need to watch out for these wolves in sheep's clothing. If you think about it, when you look at the epistles that were written in the New Testament, almost everyone is dealing with the same issue. People who have crept into the church, charmed others, and then begin to lead other people astray as they teach the wrong gospel. It's the issue the church has always faced and always will face. I think sometimes we in our culture think that it's not an issue for us. It is. And then we're also told that as the day approaches, this will become increasingly an issue for the church, as certain leaders will gather around them a number of people who have itching ears and want to hear what these people supposedly have to preach. So let's look at our text. We're in Jude, beginning in verse 8. And notice how Jude describes the Bobs, the scam artists, or the wolves in sheep's clothing in the church. Verse 8, he says, "Yet in like manner these people, also relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the holy ones." These people, these Bobs, are a lot like the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. The "in like manner" refers back to verse 7, to Sodom and Gomorrah, to the people that lived there. So these people are a lot like the people who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. They may charm the church or charm a lot of people within the church, but they are at issue, at the most basic level, ungodly, just like the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. It never ceases to amaze me how some of these Bobs can draw a big crowd. And they'll have people that hang on to their every word. And we don't often recognize them for who they are. They charm their way in, and we are sometimes blind to them. And the world, on the other hand, they see these people for who they are. A lot of people in the church cling to the words of these Bobs, and the people in the world look at these Bobs and they go, "What a bunch of idiots." They see right through them. Apparently, we in the church sometimes want to be charmed by Bobs. What is the appeal? Many of these Bobs often promote something that's new. A new understanding, I was going through this scripture and I saw this scripture in a way that no one's ever seen it before. Or they have a new method for doing ministry or a new vision for the church that's totally different than anyone else. This is the latest and best thing ever. In Jude's day, verse 8, they relied on their dreams, on what God supposedly revealed to them as they slept. If there's one thing I have learned in my years in ministry, it's that we in the church are a lot like the world. We like shiny new things. This is the day and age we live in. I don't think it was always this way, but it certainly is now. Our culture, we like shiny new things. We as a church, we like shiny and new things as well. The gospel never changes. We know that. The work of the church never changes. We know that. The basic methods for doing the work of the church never really change. We know that. All that is good. It's a rock to which we cling. But then someone comes along with a new interpretation, a new understanding, a new vision, a new method. And many of us in the church go, ooh. Unfortunately, the person who often promotes this new thing, unfortunately, they often subtly encourage others to stray from the clear teaching of God's word. And some of these bobs are obvious to you and me. I can think of a number in my lifetime. Remember the Reverend Moon? Remember the young women at the airports and the bus stations, sometimes even the hospitals, selling flowers to raise funds for Reverend Moon? Thousands, I think it was even millions of people followed him, belonged to his Unification Church. But it was obvious to you and me, wasn't it, that he was a scam artist, a wolf in sheep's clothing, that he was a bob, if you will? It was obvious to you and me that he was a kook. Closer to home, there was Jim Jones of the People's Temple. Remember him? First, he was in the United States, and then as he began to be investigated by a number of people, he took his people and fled to Guyana. And then as still the people that were investigating him closed in upon him, what did he do? Called all of his people to participate in a mass ritual of suicide. Remember the Kool-Aid? Again, we recognized him. He was a wolf in sheep's clothing. He was a scam artist. We all knew that. He didn't fool us. Many of the bobs, however, do. Many of the bobs fool us. They're not as obvious, but they're in the church. So be careful. Keep your eyes open. And many of the bobs start off good. Jim Baker, by all accounts, when he started his ministry, he was evangelical, godly, spot on. And then as his empire grew, he lost sight of the gospel. The bobs, according to Jude, tend to do and promote three things. We're still in verse 8. They tend to defile the flesh, it says, reject authority, and blaspheme the holy ones. So let's look at each one of those. The bobs in the church tend to defile the flesh and promote such behavior. They tend to be immoral and promote immorality. It's amazing how often idolatry is tied with immorality. It seems those two go almost hand in hand. In Jude's day, some people within the church taught that all flesh is evil. We are spirits, especially we as Christians, and we live above the world, and that's where we are, that's who we are, and the flesh is just kind of a shadow of who we are. It's not really who we are, just a shadow of who we are. And the world that the flesh lives in is not really real. And so what you do in the flesh doesn't really matter. That's what they argued. Very similar to those nowadays who are saying we live in a simulation, computer simulation. If you haven't heard that, it's out there. And so they said, it doesn't matter what you do in the flesh. And they did whatever they wanted to do. That is wrong in so many ways. So many ways. And yet, some in the church were apparently beginning to believe it. Isn't it curious how often cult leaders, people who claim that they are holier than everyone else, isn't it curious how often the cult leaders keep a number of handmaidens for their pleasure? Idolatry is often paired with immorality. It seems like they go hand in hand. So let's just be honest. Many of the Bobs in the church are perverts. It's as simple as that. There are people who prey upon the church, prey upon the women in the church, seek positions of influence so that they can satisfy their sexual desires. And unfortunately, it's not just children. I mean, it's not just women, it's also young girls and boys as well. Two, the Bobs in the church tend to reject authority and to promote such a mentality. This should not surprise us. Anytime a person casts off restraint, they tend to reject authority. A young child or a teenager, when they want to do whatever they want to do and run wild, what's the last thing they want to hear? What mom and dad have to say, right? They cast off restraint and they reject authority. So it shouldn't surprise us. Typically, these Bobs often claim that they have a special anointing or a special calling upon their life. The Reverend Moon claimed to be the Messiah. He could do what he wanted to do because he was the anointed one. That's the extreme. In the less extreme case, these Bobs typically believe they have the clear vision of what a church should be or what this church should be. And they understand it better than anyone else. Anytime a person doesn't want to hear what others have to say, especially those in authority, anytime a person doesn't want to hear what other people have to say, that's a huge red flag. Three, the Bobs in the church tend to blaspheme the glorious ones and to promote similar behavior. Here, from the context, I take the glorious ones to mean both the angels and the demons. Some Christians in our day are incredibly flippant when confronting Satan. I don't know if you've been around such people. I have. They confront Satan almost as if he's a bad dog. Bad dog! Bad dog! And they talk to Satan almost in the same way, as if they're talking to a bad dog. Now, we do have the authority to confront Satan in Jesus' name, and we should not be afraid to use it. But Satan isn't a bad dog. He's a roaring lion. And anytime we confront our enemy flippantly, one, we're doing God a disservice, and two, we're putting ourselves at great risk. Some of the Bobs in Jude's days, just as in our day, were apparently doing exactly that. So Jude said in verse 9, by way of example, that we should not be like that, he said, when the angel, archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment. He did not say to Satan, bad dog, bad dog. But he said instead, the Lord rebuke you. Not, I rebuke you in Jesus' name, bad dog. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. And even Michael, the archangel, like I said, he would not presume to treat the enemy the way some people treat our enemy. These Bobs in the church, Jude said in verse 10, they blaspheme all that they do not understand. In other words, they're stupid. They think they understand things and they don't have a clue. And they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. They, thinking they are wise, are destroyed by their own base animal impulses. Not a pretty picture, is it? And so Jude said in verse 11, woe to them, for they walk in the way of Cain. Cain was worldly and short-sighted, sold his birthright for a pot of stew, and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error. If you remember, Balaam suggested to King Balak that he purposely enticed the people of Israel to intermarry with their daughters so that they might commit sin. And then Jude says, and they perished in Korah's rebellion. Korah thought he was as good as Moses, did not know his place, overstepped his boundaries, and God destroyed him. In the movie What About Bob? Bob comes across as clueless and socially inept, but basically good and well-meaning. A lot of the Bobs in the church are not well-meaning, are not good, and they are not clueless and socially inept. They know how to play the game better than most of us ever will. They are very good at it. Very good at it. Now consider the havoc the Bobs can wreak within a church. Verse 12 and following. The Bobs in the church are like hidden reefs at your love feast as they feast without fear. These Bobs participate in our most intimate family times. In Jude's day, it was the love feast. They would gather together and have, if you will, a gigantic potluck. And in the midst of that, they would celebrate the Lord's Supper. And this was their most intimate time together as a family. These Bobs, Jude said, participated without fear. Why? Again, because they were good at charming people. They not only came across as one of us, they came across as maybe one of the better ones of us. Very good at what they did. Very good at charming others. But what were they? They were hidden reefs. Something that you don't necessarily see, but something that can destroy you. When a ship hits a reef, it often wrecks the ship, or at the very least, makes it run aground. A church can run against these hidden reefs, these Bobs. And when it does, it often comes away ruined. Also, the Bobs in the church are shepherds feeding themselves. They pretend to care for the church. They pretend to feed others. But they're really only feeding themselves. They're only lining their own pockets or feeding their own egos or serving for the applause of men. And you know the damage such people can do. Jude goes on to say that the Bobs in the church are waterless clouds swept along by winds. Sometimes our spirits are so dry, amen, and we yearn for the living water. We come to church as we ought, or to a Bible study as we ought, or whatever the case might be, and we're ready for that living water to be poured out upon us. And then who's ever the leader of that group or that church, wherever the case might be, preaches nonsense instead. Waterless clouds. Swept along by the winds. Farmers, when the land's been dry and they see the cloud coming and it's like, yes, we're going to get rain. And then the wind just sweeps the clouds past and it's nothing. These people seem full of promise, but they're empty. Waterless clouds. They don't refresh the church. They often suck it dry instead. Jude says the Bobs in the church are fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. Most fruit trees bear their fruit in late autumn, as Jude said. If they don't, year after year, they're worthless, aren't they? You plant a fruit tree, you want fruit. It doesn't grow fruit, it's useless. So we tend to uproot them. And Jude called these trees twice dead. They're dead because they're not producing fruit, and they're twice dead because we then uproot them. People like the Bobs in the church, again, they don't produce fruit. They don't do anything of value for the church. They're parasites instead. Verse 13, The bobs in the church are wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame. When one casts off restraint as the bobs do, they just make a mess of things. They churn things up like the waves of the sea. If you go to the ocean, and especially if it's the first time you've ever been to the ocean, you gotta go out to the ocean. You stand where the waves are and you feel the waves kind of splashing against you. And sometimes you go out too far, or sometimes the big wave comes in and knocks you over, turns you around sometimes even. That's a picture of what these people do to people in the church. They knock them topsy-turvy. They knock them over, tumble them head over heels. And even as they're doing this, they're casting up their own shame. They're supposed to be good. They're supposed to be holy. Instead, they just cause issues. And finally, Jude said, the bobs in the church are wandering stars from whom the gloom of outer darkness has been reserved forever. And here he's alluding to the bobs, but he's also alluding to the fallen angels, the wandering stars. Instead of knowing their places, these bobs, or the fallen angels, left their places. And because they left their places, they will be judged accordingly. Imagine what our world would be like if the planets, if the stars, just, there's no pattern to it. If they wandered aimlessly, all of a sudden the moon just kind of runs into the earth. And that's how these people are. They don't know their place. They don't follow the good ways that things should be done. They just go their own way and cause all kinds of trouble wherever they go. And sadly, as it says, the gloom of outer darkness has been reserved for them and for those who listen to them and follow them. Do not be deceived. There are bobs in the church, and they wreak all kinds of havoc if we let them. In the movie What About Bob, Leo's family often asks that very question. What about Bob? They plan to go do something, they're ready to go, Leo wants to go, and they go, what about Bob? We got to include Bob. What about Bob? Leo wants Bob to go home and leave his family alone. Leo's family wants to include Bob in all their activities. What about the Bobs in the church? We are good Christians. And so often we want to include the Bobs in everything we do. We're gracious, we're forgiving, and so on and so forth. But can we always include the Bobs in all our activities? We can't, can we? Sometimes we have to say, Bob, until you repent, you cannot be a part of this or that. You cannot be a part of this team or be a part of this group or be a part of this inner working of the church. We love the Bobs, but we also love the church. We want the Bobs to be a part of the church, but we also want to protect the church. The church is Christ's bride. We want to protect his bride. So again, do not be deceived. There are Bobs within the church. There are Bobs. There always has been Bobs. There always will be Bobs. As we approach the final day, there'll be more and more Bobs within the church. Do not listen to them. Do not follow them. Do not humor them. Do love them and pray for them. Even Bobs can be convicted of their sin and repent. Let's pray. Lord, we live in a tolerant day and age, and we in the church, we are tolerant because we sin. And so we try, like you, to be gracious to others. But sometimes, just as our society has gone overboard with tolerance, sometimes even we in the church are too tolerant. Too tolerant of the scam artists. Too tolerant of the predators. too tolerant of those who are teaching things that are clearly contrary to the Word of God. And in our tolerance, Lord, we let these bobs do damage that they do not need to do, nor should they do. There is so much in the American church, Lord, that is being taught that's just flat out wrong. So much. Protect your bride. And help us, Lord, to be wary. Some of the things that are being taught, we understand. That's garbage. And we utterly reject that garbage. But some of the things that are being taught are very insidious. And we sometimes begin to swallow the lies without even meaning to. Help us to be wary, Lord. And where we need to, may we confront the bobs. Protect the church. Protect your bride. Protect your people. Lord, thank you. Thank you that it is your church. It is your people. And ultimately, you are the one who will protect your people. You are the one who will call these people to an account. And I would not, for all the money in the world, I would not want to be in their shoes for even one day. For even one day of what they will experience throughout all of eternity. We love you, Lord. Help us to follow you closely. Temptations will always be there to stray, and there will be always people calling us to stray. Help us, O Lord. Help us to stay on the straight and narrow in your way, in your name. Amen.